The truth is, silence proves and disproves nothing. Silence is both wisdom and can also be cruel intent, like giving someone the silent treatment. Being silent without making a move towards resolve, like giving someone the silent treatment, is a power struggle in pain tolerance. It is a contest to see who can care less the most, the longest. Being silent with the intent to hear correctly is very different than silence whose intent is to wound, destroy, or cause to fail. Can we silence our conscience? We can be silent to others and possibly silence our state of mind, but we cannot so easily silence our conscience. The only conscience which is silent is a reprobate conscience. Without a conscience, conviction has no foothold, and condemnation has full run of the field. Paul speaks many times for a good reason about the value of owning a conscience that is not silent. Okay, so here's the bottom line question. Other than reverential silence, what is the common thread throughout silence in general? What drives our silence, even to the point of consciously but passively participating in things we know are wrong? Silence may be golden, but it isn't always the right choice, you know. I believe the common thread many times is fear. I believe fear drives us to silence more often than we care to admit. We are silent when the enemy threatens to expose our past. We are silent for fear of rejection. We are silent in the face of persecution, being marginalized or minimized. We are silent when we think our looks or homes are unacceptable to others, imaginary or real. We are silent many times to justify our own behavior while citing someone else's. We are silent when words are about to be spoken and shouldn't. We are silent because someone might discover our secrets. We are silent for fear of being ostracized because we are different at church. A little too big, too small, too heavy, too loud, too, just too something. We as a society in America today are largely, hugely driven by fear. The Lord doesn't merely suggest that we not be afraid. He commands it 68 times, saying, "Be not afraid," and "fear not." The Lord repeatedly tells us, "Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, peace unto you. Fear not, for I have heard your prayers. Fear not, for I am in this place. Fear not, nor be discouraged," and so on and so on. But yet in the face of God's commands and promises, still we are so terribly driven by fear to silence. I have 21 pages of exaggerated, illogical, and inexplicable fears that Americans are riddled with today, right now. They are called phobias, and they drive us to silence. Our top 10 fears are fear of the dark, fear of heights, fear of open spaces, fear of closed spaces, fear of spiders, fear of pointed objects, fear of germs, fear of disease, fear of snakes. And here is the most incredible. Number 10 is fear of the number 13. That's right. Fear of the number 13 is so pervasive, it has actually influenced an entire modern culture. No 13th floor on high rises, no 13th row on many airplanes. People won't buy a house which has the number 13 in the address many times. Rarely 13th Avenue or 13th Street. Rarely is there road or highway 13. Think about it. Not in the top 10, but certainly in the top 20, are four in particular. Fear of failure or of being wrong, which is absolutely rife in our society, it drives us to silence. Social phobia, which is a fear of being evaluated negatively in social situations, it drives us to silence. Sedentophobia, fear of silence. And imophobia, fear of being contrary or being in opposition. People are so afraid that someone will see them as being contrary that they are driven to silence. 21 pages of exaggerated, illogical, and inexplicable fears does not speak of people who are strong and courageous. It speaks more of people who are driven to silence because of fear. If we will trust God and cast our cares upon Him, hope will spring fresh in our hearts, and in hope, we will step into faith. In the silence of the righteous, as we wait upon the Lord, there is hope. Hope. Hope and faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Hope is the forerunner of faith. When we find faith, we can believe hope was there first. Hope generates a vision of transformation. Hope, the expectation of becoming and overcoming. And every believer in Christ has an expectation, in one fashion or another, of being a becomer and an overcomer. Hope must have an object to act on, and the object of hope is expectation. Hope is a character trait of the righteous. They have an attitude of anticipation with an expectation that something will happen to further fulfill the vision of transformation. Our hope is based on God's faithfulness, and He is always eternally faithful. Our hope is a result of trusting God. Our hope is from remembering what God has done. Hope lifts our face, and opposingly, despair causes our face to drop and drives us to silence. My friends, let fear flee away. Let us open our mouths and be silent no longer. How long can we not break out in praise? How long will the men of this nation be silent with their praise and worship of the living God? Open your gates and let glory come forth. Consider the words, or think about it.